Father God, we lift all of our prayers up to you, Lord. All of our struggles and our hurts and our pains, but yet all of our joy, the joy of knowing that you have saved us all. You have gone through the pain and the sorrow only to save us. And we thank you, Lord. We can't even fathom how great your love is to have gone through that to save us. Us. I mean, us with all of our failures and all of our sins, Lord. How amazing and great you are. Lord God, here we are gathered in your name, Lord, and we know that you are here. We know that you are amidst us and that your greatest concern right now is for our happiness and our eternity. And Lord, I ask that all of these people are touched tonight with your word, that your spirit is flown through each and every one of us, that the words that are spoken are heard and minds are transformed and hearts are conformed, Lord, to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you have blessing on Pastor Mike tonight as he speaks your word to all of us. And I pray, Lord, that for the remainder of this week and going forward, that everybody is strong in you and that your word is heard and songs are sung and praises are given. And we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Erica and Wally. Just while getting the stand back here, I just want you to make one quick short announcement before we really start Celebrate Recovery. And you will be hearing more about it if you attend church here a little bit this weekend and a lot over the or next week. But there's a movie called The Home Run that will be coming to Marcus Cinema starting the weekend of the 19th, 20th, and 21st here in Sheboygan. I will have tickets that you can purchase in advance to be able to specifically get to the movie. It's the same price. There's no discounted price. But I will do a special for CR. You bring a friend next week, and I will give like 10 or 20 tickets away. You need to bring a family member or a friend, and for each person that has a new person here or brought a new person, I'll simply try and do a little drawing until the movie tickets that I have that I can comp or pay for myself are gone. That's simply kind of how it's going to work. If not, you're welcome to buy them. And it's an awesome movie. I've gone to the preview. I was invited to go to it as a ministry leader for Celebrate Recovery last November. And it's about baseball. And for those of you who know that I played a lot of baseball and I coached a lot of baseball. And so what you don't know is how that even I had to take a pinch hit at bat at this church to actually go back into ministry. And that's a story in of itself, of which I'm thankful. You know, the Lord has brought me through issues with depression and anger and addiction with gambling. And, you know, I've struggled with many different areas in life. Thankfully, it's made my relationship with my wife stronger. In the end, it's made my relationship with Christ so much stronger. Because I know when I begin to see his word, his promises, how faithful he is, that he can take your pain, that he can take your problems, he can take your issues, and out of that, what we would say, the mess or garbage of life, he can create something beautiful. He can just turn things around because that's who he is. He's God. And we're going to talk a little bit about, that's what it's called, our acrostic is tonight is called Turn. In just a moment, we'll be getting to that, but I want to let you know these tickets will be available either this evening, and I'll figure out some way to get some comped off or give some away next week, okay? If you would, bring the serenity prayer up and let's say it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you'll make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. So turn. That doesn't sound like something that would be real spiritual or even have some in-depth substance to it until we understand it a little bit. How many people are, or you don't have to raise your hands, but talk about it. How many times have we said to somebody, guys, when we're driving somewhere, I know where I'm going. And finally you have to admit, no, one more exit, I got to turn around. And then who are we mad at? We're mad at ourselves, but we're also mad at the Google or the directions, or it just wasn't clear. And we start to get frustrated with the little moments of life and the deal of turn. Turn from areas that we struggle with. How many times have we said, I'm going to change, I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to get better at saving some money, or I'm going to quit doing what I don't want to do. I'm going to turn from where I've been going, and I'm going to go a different way. And yet, it just becomes lip service. Why is that? Why don't we truly, even though we want to in our mind break free from a bondage or from the pain or the hurt, why do we still kind of hold on to it? That's why you need to understand the principle of turn. As we started going through this acrostic or these principles a few weeks back, where we were having to work on denial, you had to realize that there's an issue in your life that needs change. And then you had to get to the point of where we realized we were powerless, we were out of control. And then we have to find hope. And then as we found hope, we had to take an action step. And then that leads us to needing to make a turn. Sometimes we need to turn. We need to make a different choice on what we've been doing. It starts with a relationship with Christ. And I'm going to lay the foundation really hard here today. Principle 3 is consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. You see, it doesn't just say my finances. It just doesn't say the areas that I need help in. It says all my life. And you see, that's oftentimes where we miss it. We try it. God, I need some help with the rent this month. Lord, when can you help me get rid of this anger? You see, I struggled with that for a long time until I understood it wasn't just needing to get rid of the anger. It was needing to get rid of the core root of the problem until I realized that, Lord, I could get better on my anger, but it never went away. It would resurface another day when I was least expecting it until I could surrender every area of my life. You know, it's when can you trust God with your health, with your finances, with your relationship, with your future? You know, though his word says that he created you in his image, that he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. That's what God's word says. And do you know, with that comes, he has a plan and purpose for every one of your lives. And if you're not living or operating within the purpose that he created you for, I know this without even knowing you real well. Many times you're unsatisfied, you're unfulfilled, you're disappointed with what's going on at work or in your relationships, because you're not living the plan or the purpose of what God created you for. And at that point, many times we feel like we're most miserable. And because of that, it maybe leads some of us into depression, leads into anger. When I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, that's when the things came into my life that I shouldn't have been dealing with. Now, here's 3 categories. Let me tell you right now, here's how it works. We can become a believer in Christ, or we can choose to reject Christ. Those are the 2 main categories. But here's another category that so many people struggle with. They become a believer, but they never surrender certain areas of their life. And they continually walk. They've settled the issue about whether they're going to go to heaven or hell. Okay, that's done. But then they continue to hold on to some of the junk in their life, and they continue to limp along as a woe-begotten, wounded Christian. They don't turn from it says right here, commit all. It doesn't say just commit my heart and life and receive salvation. That's the beginning step. But now it's a matter of how do we clean up what was going on inside our life? The language, the issues, the problems, the stress of life. What do we do with it? How do we see something become different? Or do we continue to hang? Well, nobody knows about this, so I guess this is between me and God, and he hasn't sent me an email yet. I don't have to get rid of this. You know, and so we continue to hold on to some of that garbage, and then we pray and we wonder, God, when are you going to bless me? You know, I've been living like this for so long, and nothing seems to change in my life. And you know what he'd like to do is he'd like to send you that email and say, son, daughter, when are you going to follow the plan that I've given you from my word for your life? And then You see, this the word comes with promises. You know, I wish some of you could. My wife might not want to see it, but I wish God would send a video down and let you be able to see how I was years ago, and where we were both, just as a couple, and how we. I know what it's like to have a little, and I know what it's like to have a lot. God has, as after we made those commitments, after we finally fully surrendered various areas of our life, guess what? That's when the blessings come. That's when those prayers, that's when the closeness, the sweetness with God, the promises, you begin to see things change. And when you begin to do that, you just go so much stronger. And now it's so much easier to go deeper. You see, first you have to turn. It says, commit all of my life and will to Christ's. Not just what I need help with, not just what I need changed, but it says all. That means, okay, it means if, Lord, if you want me to sell my house, I'm going to sell my house. Lord, if you need me to work at this church and make what I used to make 25 years ago, I guess that's what I need to do. Submit. And guess what? He finds ways to supernaturally bless when you make the right decision. So don't ever think that your decisions all have to be based on finances, because that would be a lie from Satan. He's saying, choose what you're supposed to do with your life, and I will bless you despite what your salary is, despite what life's problems or issues are bringing your way. I will bring something good. I will make something that will be just so beautiful out of your life that you would not believe this could happen. But you have to turn. You have to get to the point of committing. And then it goes on to say, step three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. That's a decision that you get to make. He's not going to make it for you. He's not going to command you to have to do that. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Principle three goes on to continue to talk to us about the plan of life. Learning to offer. How are we going to offer our bodies as a spiritual act of worship? We're not going to go on some islands and get onto some firewood and say, come on, burn me. You know, that would be a little freaky, a little weird. That is not what he's saying. He's saying it comes with a full commitment of heart. He's saying, are you committed or are you just in the church? And Monday's coming and you get to go back to your job and to your friends and live like Sunday was yesterday, as it is on the calendar. Are you going to be committed? When are you going to truly want some change? When are you going to want to become more than what you've been? When are you going to want to be, you know, maybe some of us were born on the wrong side of the tracks. I know when you add up to finances, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Oh, we were poor farm people, but I mean, my parents, at least, we always had something to eat. But yet there was some dysfunctions and some struggles in my household. So proverbially, born on the wrong side of the tracks. We'll never have received an inheritance, nor do I want one, because I have an inheritance that my Heavenly Father has given me that's so much better, so much sweeter. And guess what? In between there, as I've learned to commit those ways, he's found ways to take care of me that I would have never thought would happen. And that's where I wish, you know, someday I'll have to write a full story where you get to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Just not little tidbits or little teaser things, because somebody needs to hear that. And so how do you turn your life and will over to your higher power? That's what we're going to be talking about. How do you do that? How do you just not be, okay, I got to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. But how do you surrender and move beyond that initial decision of accepting Christ and make some lasting progress to deal with some issues that we may be stuck with? Or why is it that we can come to recovery today, or we can go to church on Sunday, and then during the week it's Monday or Tuesday, we're at happy hour, we're getting hammered, and we are late for work the next day? Huh? Why do we make a good decision today and a bad decision a day or two from now? It's because we haven't learned how to surrender or commit every area or all the areas of our life. It's just, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about. It's the acrostic of TURN is trust, understand, repent, new life. Trust is the difficult part. Understand this. Many individuals even don't either first trust God for their salvation, or they realize they're angry with God. Sometimes we're angry with God. We may have even, there was times even after I was a Christ follower that I was angry with God. You see, being angry with God doesn't mean that you reject him. It just means that you're being honest with your emotions and your heart. And God understands that. When we're angry with God, though, it's not opening the door to being able to trust him to meet our needs. And that's a part where we need to turn from that emotion. You see, God did not cause the pain or problems in your life. Many of us, we get mad at God because this happened to me. Somebody died. We lost our job. Somebody got sick. Something happened. And people tend to get mad at God. God did not do that to you. That is, oftentimes if somebody else has done something to you, it's called free will. Satan's alive and at work in this world. And sometimes when issues come in our way, it's to refine us. It's to build character. Go read the book of Job. Job lost all of his children, all of his wealth, all of his possessions. And it was all a test. It was a test of his character to see if he would stay committed all in. Or was he going to give up? And so since he stayed all in, the promise said that he was repaid twice for everything that he lost. There's a promise that comes with commitment. And God is desiring to bless you. He's desiring to make that commitment with you and with me. But are you all in? You know, in the gambling world, you got to sometimes be all in. And this is not the gambling world. This is far from it. This is a 100% for sure thing. When you choose to get all in, there's nothing that will change any further. Trust, though. How many of us trust blindly in all kinds of things? We go to a restaurant. We trust they're going to serve us good food. Maureen and I, we go to Door County a lot. And there's, once you get past Sturgeon Bay, it's single lane roads. You get behind some farm equipment and there's all kinds of cars lined up. Pretty soon that farm guy got his hand in, and the car in front of you goes around. Then the next car goes around and he's going like this, and then it's your turn and you go around. Why is it that we will blindly trust somebody waving their arm that we've never met? We're going to trust him with our life. We're going to trust him with somebody else's life that could be coming. And we choose to take that choice. And yet we haven't come to the point of trusting God with our life that he will make everything turn out the way it is supposed to be. Why is it that we can't turn to him and trust him with every area of our life? The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Why? That becomes an issue. Trust is such a difficult thing. You know, trust makes and breaks relationships. Love does not grow unless there's trust in the relationship. It just doesn't. If you can't trust your significant other or your spouse, love is not going to grow. Oh, you can survive, you can exist, but it's never going to be what God intended it to be. You know what he intended it to be? The two to become one. How the two becomes one under the bond of love is when there's trust. When there's trust, then love is, it's in a safe place where it can begin to grow. So you need to find a way to turn that relationship in the direction that will create trust. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about trust. As I have been doing a little extra segment on some areas of mental illness as we're going along, or depression. Trust, you see, when we struggle with trust, here's some things that have happened to us. At the core of the root of trust, there's betrayal somewhere. Either perhaps it whether came from being abused as a child or cheated on by a spouse, perhaps in adult life. And when that has happened, here's what's happened. Until those issues have been worked on, the individual remains with feelings like, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough, or they'll keep others at a distance. And that relationship just can't go deep like it needs to with love. And then we wonder why our relationships continue to suffer, or why he or she doesn't stay with me, or why I've gone through a few he and she's. Because there's some areas, or there's some core areas in your past that need some work. You see, guess what, guys and girls? This stuff does not come out while you're dating the other person. You don't see that until all of a sudden we get committed. Once we get committed, then it's so much easier for the issues, the real you or the real me, to become active, to be part of our household, to be part of our life. And now what do? Do we turn from one another and run? Now that's how we get to the 50% divorce rate. Or can you be part of the 50% that's going to say, I'm going to work on these issues. With God's help, I will not let the problems of the past continue to be a problem of today. You see, that is the best solution. But you have to be all committed. You have to make that choice. You have to learn how to trust. You have to be fully committed in and say, regardless of what went on in your life, regardless of what went on in my life in the past, I'm going to find a way with God's help to make this thing work called relationship, where the two become one. You want to understand what turning means. And even if you're not married or you're not in a committed relationship, you need to understand this stuff, because it will become very live and very real in your life when you are. And so, you know, the most difficult area is for an individual who was abused as a child. Somebody who had abuse as a child, whether it's verbal, sexual, or emotional. Children who grew up with that type of abuse oftentimes develop personalities like they need to be perfect, or they need to be good enough, or they just need to be more than what the expectations seem to be almost overwhelming on them. And here's what happens. Many times they also become people pleasers. They can't say no to somebody in authority, a boss. They take on sometimes more than what they are ready to handle. But what has happened here is there was a boundary of trust that was broken at an early age. Because that boundary of trust was broken, last week we talked about setting your dials to normal on your dryer. Remember, it goes to delicate, it goes to hot, and there's the normal setting. Our pendulum in life swings both delicate and hot. Because of that, individuals with abuse, oftentimes as childhood, sometimes struggle with having their dial in the normal zone. They can quickly become very delicate and fragile, or they can quickly become very hot and hostile. I'm sorry that you have to hear some of this stuff or be reminded of it, but I do know how we have the answers as to where we can go. And it's found in turning. It's found in trusting. It's found in committing all of your life. That means the past. That means the present. That means the future. You see, I finally got sick and tired of letting my past ruin today. If you're sick and tired of letting your past ruin today, then it's time that you turn from the past and face the future with a new beginning. When you do that, ladies and gentlemen, that's really how you find recovery. That's where you really find hope. It starts at the foot of the cross. It comes in saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to become the man or woman that you've asked me to be, that you created me to be. Help me to leave the mess of pain and hurt of my life behind and walk into the freedom that you've provided for me. Until you can get to that point of turning and committing and putting all the past behind you, guess what? You'll wake up tomorrow and that past will bite you in the butt when you least expected it. Or when there's a little issue, we'll throw the garbage of the past in somebody else's face so we can win that argument. We need to be able to get to the point where that past is no longer part of it. You know, tomorrow has enough problems of its own without bringing the garbage of the past with it. Huh? That's going to be an awful day if you have new problems tomorrow and you're dragging the whole trash of years behind with you, trying to get that through the door and into your life. Just see what kind of issues that you're going to be struggling with. It's time to get committed. It's time to turn. It's time to see what God has for you in a bright manner. Not just settle for good enough, or settle for getting by, or settle that maybe things will change if I do this or if I do that. Turn, trust, get committed, and watch what will happen. You see, here's what happens also to individuals. Now perhaps they were abused as a child, and now they grow up, and perhaps they're betrayed in their adult relationships. You know what's going to happen here, according to the law of psychological and things? Now they're going to turn to something else. Perhaps it's food. Perhaps it's anger. Perhaps it's drugs. Perhaps it's depression. Perhaps it's alcohol. Perhaps it's pornography. But there's going to be some substance that will bring comfort to their hurting mind and soul. And they will move and gravitate towards that. And now the life gets further out of control. It's time we learn how to trust, how we learn how to turn from the issues of the past so that we can walk into the freedom that Christ has for us today. Today. Not just yesterday, but today. You see, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we get that to that point of committed, that is when we will experience life abundantly. Not just one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Or just totally committed to God or just totally committed to the world. One way or the other. He said lukewarm is not good to churches. I would imagine it's not good to us as individuals either. So if trust was broken in childhood or you were deeply wounded in a relationship, I want you to realize there is hope. So oftentimes we feel hopeless. We feel like, why? Why did this stuff have to happen to me? I want you to know there is hope. Hope abundantly. Hope exists. And if you don't have that hope, I want to talk to you about it as we go forward just a little more. Hope is there. You know, if you've... Sometimes we just get stuck. We simply just get stuck. And we know the answers. And yet we're stuck and we can't find a way to break through that stuck of muck of life to walk into the hope that we know is there. And how do we get unstuck? I'll talk to you just real quickly about that. Again, we all know that faith, that God responds to faith, right? His word says that if you have just a little faith, like a tiny mustard seed, you can move mountains. And that word mountains represents the problems of your life. With just a little faith, you can move the problems of your life. With just a little faith, Samson's muscles could push this pillar down and that one would crash and the roof would come down upon us. And he was blind and he had been without that strength. But with just a little faith, your problems can be moved. But now we say we're stuck. You know what our problem is? It's not that we don't understand that faith will move our problems. We need hope because hope activates faith. That's why Mark talked about hope a few weeks back for me. Hope activates the faith. When your faith is weak, you got to find hope again. When you have hope, that will help activate your faith, which makes your spiritual muscles strong, which causes you to believe, which causes you to stand up and take the right actions and turn from the garbage of your life. So just keep that formula in your mind. Never let that leave you. When you're struggling with your faith or you're seeming to pray and it seems like the words just bounce off the ceiling, hit you on your head, it starts with hope. You just don't go back to faith. You got to reactivate that hope because that hope will reactivate your faith. And then it'll make it so much easier. You'll be empowered to be able to turn from the issues of the past. This is not rocket science. This is simply a proven spiritual formula. It's written in God's word. Begin to apply it. It's not some old fogey stuff. It's not something that just might work. There's an absolute. There's a promise. Go read Zechariah 9:12. It comes with a promise. It says, become a prisoner of hope. It says, all of you who have hope, when you become a prisoner of hope, in other words, just a promise, just like Job said, I will restore twice what the enemy has stolen from you. Another promise that he will bless you twice when you become a prisoner of hope. I could tell you one quick little story, like my first grandson, gone. But guess what? That was the verse I had to give them in the hospital. Believe to my son and daughter. Believe that God is still in control. Each September after that, another little boy. God's word is exactly what it says it will be. He'll restore twice what the enemy has stolen. I've seen that too many times in my life to ever begin to doubt it, to begin to ever question it. Now, these things aren't coincidence. These are real life things. And if you knew more of my life, you would see that there's issue after issue after issue. And you don't have to be a pastor to experience those blessings. Those blessings weren't written for me. They were written for you and me. Understand that. That is the next word on our acrostic, is the U is understand. Understand. You see, many times we rely on our own understanding, on our own viewpoint of life, and that's what gets us in trouble in the first place. Because we try and do things my way, our way. And we think, I'm in control of life. I'm okay. I got a job. I've got a house. I'm making progress. I'm married, or at least I think I'm going to marry her. You know, or I'm getting ready to. We might be playing house now, but I'm getting ready to. I'm making some good plans. I have my own understanding. And I'm not making fun of any of you in that situation. Don't hear me. I'm just using some examples. Okay? So don't hear me judge, because I don't choose to judge. God loves each and every one of us, and he accepts each and every one of us where we are today. Period. End of story. There's no not one that is righteous. No, not one. And the only one that was, they crucified him years ago. That's why we celebrated Easter last week. And so understand, there is not a one of us that is any better than another. Only the fact is that we are all forgiven. That is where we are all equal, if we choose to apply that forgiveness. But our understanding, which simply means our choices, based upon situations that have occurred in our lives, we've made those choices. Now we wonder where the mess comes from. We try to live life under our understanding, which comes from our choices. And our choices sometimes lead us way wrong. I know mine have. So it's our choices, oftentimes our understanding is earthbound. Understand that it's human to the core. When you're desiring, when you turn from your humanness and you say, I'm going to be committed to seeing God be active in my life. I want to experience his best in my finances, in my health, in my relationships, in my job life, in my decisions. When we commit those areas of our life, my thoughts, my words, things that I do. When we can learn how to commit that stuff, guess what? Learning to make the right decision becomes easier. Does not mean that you're not going to be tempted. We've talked about that many times. Each time you make progress, new level, there's a new devil. There's a different way that he'll come at you with a different temptation. If you were struggling with lust of the flesh here and you've made some progress, guess what? You're going to be blindsided here with something that you would not have expected would happen. Now it's going to be, how do you handle that at the moment that it's right in front of you in your face? It's and you can either slide all the way back to the beginning because you made a wrong decision, or you can continue to move to the next level because you made a right one. And that can be applied to anything in life, whether it's drugs, alcohol, depression, anger, any situation. You see, guess what happened? You mess up. Now it's not that you have to come to the priest or have to talk to Pastor Mike. You have to talk to Pastor God. You have to say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned again. And now you know what you do? You say, okay, thank you for helping me get to this level that I moved before I messed up again. Next time when I'm here, when I'm faced with that same temptation, help me to be able to resist that temptation so I can continue to move forward with you. That's how you apply, how you learn from your mistakes. It's not just because you messed up that you keep stay stuck there. I'll never get better. I'll never change. Nothing good will ever happen to me. Learn from your mistakes and ask God to help you so you can move forward. That's when you're really turning in the right direction, people. And so that moves on from the U. The R is repent. You know, many times people repent of their sins. They think that, well, I guess I better say I'm sorry, but you know I'm not half as bad as he or she is. That's how sometimes people come with their repentance. Their repentance many times is not really genuine. You know, I guess it wasn't that bad, God. Yeah, maybe you need to forgive me. But you know, he or she does a whole lot worse. You see, in our humanness, we tend to judge. And others tend to judge us, and we tend to judge others. That's part of being human to the core. You know what being human to the core is also equated to? Being rotten to the core. That means we're full of stink on the inside, whether you like it or not. You know, it just is. We do not need to be perfect to repent. God says, come just as you are. Whether you're, you don't have to go through a full recovery program. You don't have to get cleaned up on the outside. You don't have to change your clothes or come in some certain posture or give X amount of dollars to church before God's going to listen to you. God says, come as you are. I love you where you are. I'm waiting for you, son. I'm waiting for you, daughter. When are you going to choose me? Ask me into my life. Let me lead you. Let me help you. Let me heal you from your issues, from your pain, from your hurts. That's what is called repentance. That leads you to the last letter, which is N, which is new life. See, when we've got the issues, when we've got the struggles, we've got the hurts and problems of life, many of us think, man, I just wish I could get a new life. I just wish things would change someday for me. I used to hear my parents say, yeah, someday our ship will come in. That's a pretty old saying. Even though we live by Lake Michigan, I know there's no ships that are coming in that's going to have my name on, so I don't look for them. I don't know why they were. They were being deceived somehow or another. But, you know, that's just it's new life. God, when you begin to make the right choices, he will lead you into that new life. Sometimes it's new friends. Sometimes we need some new friends, because when we hang on to the old ones, they're going to lead us, they're going to help us bring the temptation before us that's going to cause us to slip back. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. What you need to be is you need to be an influencer of the old friends. When you're an influencer of the old friends and help have them make some changes with you, together you can be stronger. Together you can begin to succeed rather than letting the old friends influence you down the wrong path. New life is about new life. It means it's new. It doesn't matter what age you start the new life. New life is new. End of story. It means the old has passed away and the new is put on. It means the immortal has put on mortality, or the mortal has put on immortality. It means the old stinky me is now cleaned up and smells good, looks good, and in God's eyes smells perfect. Even though I still have some wrong thoughts, even though there's times we still do something wrong, that's called relationship with God. Just like when you mess up in your relationships with people, don't we all say, I'm sorry? Don't we all say sometimes to fix our relationships, I'm sorry I did that, can you forgive me? That's called how the relationship with God works. You mess up, you do something wrong, now you simply, God, I'm sorry. Help me next time to do better. We always promise our significant other we're going to do better and not mess up or say or do that or be late, that we'll be on time. We make all those promises to people. Turn from the worldly standards. Turn from our humanness, which is rotten to the core. Turn and come into his presence and watch what a new life he'll create on you on the inside. Bow your heads. Father, you know our hearts, our minds, where we hurt, where we struggle. You know our pain. You know each woman, each man here tonight. If we don't have relationship with you, or if they don't have relationship with you, work on their heart. If they're ready to make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to turn from my past and I want you to walk with me. You just need to slip your hand up and I'll pray with you. Just put your hand up if the God's speaking to you tonight. Anybody here? I see that hand. I see that hand. Lord, just everybody's quiet. just repeat after me. If you've already said this prayer, just mean it, that the God is going to bring some lasting change into your life and into their life. Just say, Father, come into my heart. Save me from my sins. Forgive me of the choices that I've made. Fill me with your love. Change me from the inside out. Help me to turn from the way I was going and seek the way you want me to go. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's the first time you ever prayed a little prayer like that, that simply means that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's awesome. Please talk to me again at the break, and I would love to give you some little booklet to read on how to continue to move forward with that great relationship. And at this time, if you've been here for